Good morning, church family. I am not Ariana. I'm her grandmother. She is not here today. She's spending time with her cousins that she haven't seen in a couple of years. So the scripture reading today is Acts 9:1-2, 6-9. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all the demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now, hearing the rest of heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed, because some were saying that John had been risen from the dead, others that Eli had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But hearing said, I beheaded John, who then is this I hear such things about. And he tried to see him. Amen. Thank God for the blessing of the words.
Hello, family. Well, we're talking about healing today, but we're going to talk a little bit about the threefold office. So if you were here last week, you may remember one of the things that we were saying, same God right now, same God back then. But now I have a question for you. We know God is the same. He is still alive. He has never stopped. He is the living water, sustainer, provider, and creator. But who are you? Who are you in the scheme of things? Within his plan for the world, for the earth, for this global rotating ball that we live on, that we call our physical home right now. We often say, and if you're on the prayer line, or and even if you're not, I'm sure you've heard this at some point. Remember who and whose you are. And that is vital. Because when we look at who and whose we are, it's important for us to remember and know, because it's important for us to remember that Satan comes to man. He comes to us only to kill, steal, and destroy. So as a Christian, as a child of the Most High, our relationship, where we feel we are, where Satan is and where God is very important. There are three categories we can fall into, and they talk about this a little bit in Revelation. There are people that fall on the right. You're trying to follow hard after Jesus, a fully committed disciple. Then there are people that fall on the left, doing our own thing, looking to the present, not looking for the joy in the morning. And then there are the people that are on the fence, kind of over here, kind of over there, don't quite, you know, this is kind of fun, you know, don't quite want to give that up yet, but I know God. So we have all these categories. And then sometime we hear the question that comes up, well, can I lose my salvation? What is the real question behind that? What is the real thought behind it? Usually when we're talking about things of that nature, we're wondering, how far can I go? How far can I go before I've crossed over? How much can I do before I'm here, you know, in this Netherland. Instead of asking the question, how can I maximize my relationship with God? How can I maximize my eternal reward? We're looking for how much can I get away with? Now, all of this is leading up to this one thing. We have to be real with ourselves. As my daughter would say, and you see the shirts, keep it 100. And all of that, of who we are and who we think we are. Who do we remember that we are? Who are you really? What do you really think about this relationship? What do you really think about God? What do you really think about the Holy Spirit? Well, the good news is, despite where we may fall on the spectrum, right on the fence, on the left, the good news is that we can move. We can move because of Jesus. We can move because of the Holy Spirit. You see, last week, when we were talking about becoming dependent upon God, we looked at the church in Acts and how they responded to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, how they responded to the miraculous. They expected the Holy Spirit to talk to them. They expected God to be glorified in their actions. They gave their possessions. They gave their time. They gave their talents. And in some cases, they gave their lives because they knew and they understood and believed that Jesus was the anointed and appointed Messiah. They saw him in action. They were able to talk to the people who saw him. They were able to talk to people who were raised from the dead. They were able to talk to the man who was blind, who was healed. They were able to talk to the leper. They were able to see it, witness it. And they knew that this man, this God, this Jesus had power. He had something they didn't have. They were able to experience and talk to people who were fed, when they fed the 4,000, when they fed the 5,000. They could probably even talk to the bride and groom whose wedding Jesus was there and he changed the water into wine. I'm sure they were still around. There are all these witnesses and all these people that they could talk to and know that there was power coming from Jesus Christ. And this church, this foundational church, was put here as an example for something for us to aspire to, a goal to move toward. You know, yes, you know, at first, they didn't get it. And we got to look at that. They didn't get it. The disciples didn't get it. When Jesus was talking about dying, they were like, what do you mean you're going to die? Aren't you getting ready to take over the world? What's really happening? They didn't get it. But in time, because they were able to experience firsthand the authority given to Jesus Christ in their lives, they were able to move and do miraculous things. In the Old Testament, it talks about the threefold office. And when we talk about the threefold office, we're talking about the office of prophet, priest, and king. Back in Deuteronomy 18, the Lord told them that he was going to set up prophets, that he will raise up for them a prophet, and they must listen to him. And then as we continue through that, we also look at kings. They wanted a king. And Samuel talks about the kings. And 1 and 2 Kings and 1 and 2 Chronicles and even in the Minor Prophets, the kingship is mentioned. And then, of course, in Isaiah and some of the other prophets, the Messiah is mentioned. And then, of course, in Exodus, the establishment of a priesthood, the Levitical priesthood. I mention these three parts of this office because this is what God set up. This is what he established. But when Christ came, he established it again. So when we look at Hebrews, we see in Hebrews 1, 1 through 3, how Jesus was anointed to be the prophet, to be our priest, and to be our king. In Hebrews, it says, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son. So he used to speak through Moses. He used to speak through Isaiah. He used to speak through Ezekiel, Amos, Hosea. But now there's Jesus, his son. And we continue. When he appointed Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, kingship, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. King. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Priest. Changing from the Levitical priesthood back to the Melchizedek priesthood. So, I've said a lot of stuff, right? In these last 6 minutes, right? So all of this, and you're probably sitting there going, okay, Lisa, that's great. All of this is great. But what does that have to do with healing? Right? Exactly. There's a point to it. There's a method to the madness. First, remembering who and whose we are, and that, yeah, we're under attack. Satan doesn't want us to remember who we are or whose we are, because he's here to kill, steal, and destroy. That's one. Two, God set up a threefold office, prophets, priests, and kings. And if you read through the New Old Testament, you read about all the things that these people did. But God also promised, as you go through the Old Testament, that he was going to bring about a new thing. And then here in Hebrews, it is written and it's spoken about who or what this new thing is. The appointed and anointed Messiah, Jesus Christ. So, now, we're going to go into the healing part. As we look in the scripture that was read in Luke 9, 1 through 9, where it talks about Jesus sending out the 12. He sent them out. He gave them power and authority. They drove out demons and they cured diseases. I mean, it was to such a point in the area that when we get to verse 9, Herod says, but I beheaded John. Who is this? Who is going around doing these things? And he wanted to seek out Jesus because there was someone on the scene with power and authority doing miraculous things that Herod, the tetrarch, wanted to know. Who is this? I want to see him. So then we look also at Luke 10 when Jesus sends out the 72. And it says, after this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two. Because at first he sent 12 and then he sent 72. He sent them out ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a town, dropping to verse 8, When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is offered to you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Dropping down to 16. Whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. Whoever rejects me, rejects him who sent me. So the 72 went out, and he did these things. They healed the sick, and they told them the kingdom of God was at hand. They cast out demons, and they came back, and they returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. At that time, Jesus, full of joy, can you imagine? Full of joy through the Holy Spirit said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows who the Son is except the Father, and no one knows who the Father is except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal himself. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings wanted to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. So what did we see in this passage? One thing we saw, that Jesus has full authority given to him by the Father. And he used his authority to magnify and glorify God. He in turn passed this authority to his disciples to destroy the work of the enemy. So then we look at Luke 4, 31. He went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on a Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. In a synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice, go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Be quiet, Jesus said sternly. Come out of him. Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. All the people were amazed and said to each other, what words are these? With authority and power, he gives order to impure spirits, and they come out. So what have we seen so far? We've seen Jesus send out the 12, and they came back doing things. We see in Luke 10, Jesus with authority that has been given to his Father, giving authority to the disciples. And they all come back with joy. And Jesus is filled with joy. And we see here in Luke 4 how, because of the authority given to him, demons are cast out. things are happening. See, Jesus had been given authority over the demons by his Father. So we look at this and we say, okay, authority. And when you have authority over something or someone, they listen to you, correct? When you have authority, that authority is the power or the right to give orders, to make decisions, to enforce obedience. Just as we have authority over our children, over employees, over pets, just various things, Jesus had been given authority over everything. He didn't have to stop and pray. And it may sound like, whoa, he had authority. God had already given him authority. He didn't have to stop and ask. He had the ability to say it, and it was so. And using his authority, he drew many to God and the kingdom of God. See, these things were happening. You know, in some of the scripture, it even says, well, this man, he was blind from birth. Why was he blind? He was blind so that God could be glorified. So that when Jesus came on the scene and things were happening, he could have that opportunity to use his authority so that people would know the kingdom of God was at hand. Because when he is lifted up, when God is lifted up, people are drawn to him. And one thing that draws people is healing. One thing that draws people will make people that may never been in church ever, or maybe they went to church and they stopped, let them get sick. They are drawn back. They come back. Because they know there's no one else. You can go to doctors. You can take all the medication. There is no other place you can go for healing but to God. And God used that, giving Jesus authority to go into the world and heal. He also, as Jesus walked and talked with his disciples and all the people, because remember, when Jesus was ministering, it wasn't just 12. I mean, even here in Luke 10, he sent out 72. There were tons of people. Think of the 4 and 5,000 that were fed. Do you think they remember that? The people who were healed of leprosy, the people who were mute that could now speak, the people who were crippled. Do you think they remember that? They remembered. They knew that God was in their midst. They knew there was a God who was mindful of them. And God was glorified through this. In John 20:30, it says, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which were not recorded in the book. So we can read about the ones that we know about, but there were so many other things that he did that were not recorded. But we continue. But these things that were written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John 10:37 says, do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. And he was doing the works of his Father because God had given him authority. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father. Do you understand these things, family? Do you understand these things? Because it's only because of the Holy Spirit that you can understand these things. As he said before, you believe because God, the Holy Spirit, has enabled you to. So we have to remember who and whose we are, that we are the present day disciples of Jesus Christ. In Mark 2:10, it goes on to say, "But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority upon earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise and take up your cot and go to your house.' And immediately he arose, took up his cot, and went out before all, so that all were amazed and glorified God." John 14:12 says, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." So we're going to examine how Jesus ministering to the sick, after the Holy Spirit came upon him, and how that manifested and how that works with the disciples and apostles and the church and in Acts, and how that works with us today. So as I conclude, and my husband comes up, remember, God will do what he will do, when he wants to do it and how he wants to do it. It's not up to us to say, "Well, I don't know about that." Because then we're limiting how much he can do with and through us. We have to remember our joy comes in the morning. Now it's time to work. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is full. There are people everywhere who need a word, who need healing, physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. Jesus had the authority. So I ask you, family, do you remember who and whose you are? Are you standing strong and firm on who and whose you are? Or are you teetering? Are you like, "Well, sometime I'm this way and sometime I'm over here"? Are you steeped in who and whose you are so that he can do his work? We are the church of the living God, the present day church, just like the church in Acts, who listened and they obeyed and they followed the Holy Spirit. We are the present day church of the living God. And as he wills, as he ordains, as he leads, and as he guides, we are his children. We are workers in the harvest. We are his hands and feet here on earth. Within his plan for this world, we are to glorify and magnify the true and one and only living God. We have been called to edify, teach, and disciple. Remember who you are. Remember whose you are. And look to him for that direction. Look to him for that authority. Look for him for his guidance, his teaching, his patience, his grace, and his power.
Well, greetings again. I'm going to start off this segment by asking one question. What did Jesus do? He preached the gospel. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He made disciples. But nowhere in there did you ever see him pray for the sick. And if you like challenges, that's a challenge that I issue. Find any place in Scripture where Jesus prayed for the healing of the sick. He never did it. Why? As Lisa said, he didn't need to. The authority to heal was already given to him. Now, Please don't go away thinking that Pastor Barker is saying we don't need to pray. Right? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if we've been given the authority to heal, if disciples have been given the authority to heal, then go heal. You see, I itemized a few of the things that Jesus did while he was on the earth. But we know now that Jesus has ascended and he sits on the right hand of God. He works as our high priest and our intercessor. So the question is now, since Jesus is no longer here on the earth, then all of these things that he was doing, who's doing it? The book of John, chapter 14, verse 12, gives us an indication. He says, "Very truly I say to you, whosoever believes in me, whosoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing." And again, what are the works? Preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, and making disciples. Healing, casting out, making disciples, and preaching the gospel. "Whosoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these." I mean, wow. I think I'll need to repeat that. "Whosoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater than these." You see, sometimes my wife asked the question quite a few times, do we know whose we are and do we know who we are? And I'll say, no, we don't. Sorry, I'm really good at stepping on toes. We don't know who we are, we don't know whose we are. Why? Because if we did, we would not be doubting the scriptures. No, but I don't doubt the scripture, Pastor. But it's either we are doubting the scriptures, we are ignorant of the scriptures, or we are disobedient towards scriptures. Because has any one of us done greater things than Jesus? I know I haven't yet. Working on it, right? I haven't yet. And the reason could be because we don't really know who we are and whose we are. You see, the devil has done a really good job of lying to us, right? Keeping us, as we say, ignorant. Keeping us ignorant, right? Because he does not want us to know, or he does not want us to remember whose we are and who we are. And in effect, what happens is that he doesn't want us to know the power and the authority that we wield. I mean, we got some power inside here, right? But he don't want you to know that. You know, keep it on the down low, right? Stay humble. You need to humble yourself in the precious name of Jesus Christ. But you see, we have the wrong definition of the word humble. Humble does not mean weak. Humble doesn't mean that, oh, well, we're not going to show that power that Jesus gave us, right? We're not going to, you know, stand up and tell people, you are wrong, right? We're not going to do that because we don't want to hurt people's feelings, right? That's of the devil. You see, we don't want to walk up to people and say, oh, you sick? Bam, be healed, right? We don't want to do that because that'll be showing off. Of course it's showing off. It's showing off Jesus Christ. It's showing off God. It's showing off Holy Spirit. It's showing off the power that dwells in us. People, we got power. I mean, do we really believe that? Do you know whose you are? Do you know what power you have? Okay, let me get back on script. He ascended into heaven, and he gave this authority. In Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says that when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons, to cure diseases, and he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God. Now, notice something here. That power and that authority to cast out demons, to heal the sick, was not done in a vacuum. It's not something that, oh, yes, go show the power, right? But it was always done in conjunction with preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. As Lisa said, I put it this way. It's an advertisement. Because once people see the power that's there, they want to know, well, okay, how can I have access to that power? Right? How? But what I want to do now is I want to take a little look. Lisa did a little bit of it, but I want to go a little bit deeper into this authority thing. Right? What is this authority about? And if we, I don't have a dictionary with me. But when we look at the word authority and we look at what it is, let's describe it this way. If I say, Michael, go wash my car. What is Michael going to do? He's going to get up immediately, right? No procrastination. And he's going to go wash the car, right? That means that I have authority over Michael. I say, Kelsey, baby, fix daddy something to eat. And what Kelsey would do? She would go and fix something for daddy to eat. Why? That shows that I have authority over Kelsey. In the place of employment, if you have employees who work for you and you tell the employee, okay, I need you to do this, then that employee, if you have authority over that employee would go do it. Authority says that you do what I say. That's part of kingship. Lisa talked about priesthood, she talked about prophetic, and she talked about kingship. That's part of our kingship, authority. Now, some people might look at authority as it's this, oh, that's that bad word. Well, I don't like having authority over people. That's sad. Why? Because God gave you authority. God gave us authority. He gave the disciples authority. We have a dog at home. He's called Hunter. Hunter comes running up to me. He had to be trained, right? And he used to just jump. And now as he's coming running up to me, I said, don't you jump on me. And he stops. Do I have authority over that dog? You better believe it. The kid's still learning to have authority over him, right? But yes, I have authority over that dog. This is the authority that God, that Jesus Christ gave to his disciples over demons. Authority. Authority that says that Peter, go cast out that demon. I give you authority over that demon. Did Christ have the authority? Yes, he did. Remember, Lisa read it. Oh, are you come to cast us out? Why are you bothering us like that? He had supreme authority. And it's this same authority that he gave over his disciples, he gave to his disciples to go heal. And there's also one scripture that says that he gave them authority to raise the dead. Oh, but I can't do that. You're right. If that's the way you believe it, you're right. There's the old saying that goes, you know, if you believe you can, you're right. And if you believe you can't, you're also right. Do we know who we are? Because right now the devil is sitting up there and he's quite comfortable. He says, yeah, I got them. Right? Don't be a slave to the devil. Mark then says, and when he had called to him his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits. He gave them authority to cast them out. He gave them authority to heal all kinds of sicknesses. All kinds of sicknesses. He gave them authority over it. In verse 7 it says, and as you go, proclaim, as you go, he said, proclaim, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Again, healing, casting out of demons, all paralleling alongside intricately woven into the gospel message. He says, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. All authority given by Jesus Christ, who had the authority, gave it to his disciples, to the apostles, and to the 72. Now, as you can see, the power that was given to the apostles was given primarily for the proclaiming of the gospel of the kingdom of God. There's one scripture that where he says, go and preach the gospel in the neighboring areas. Right? So that when I come, I can talk to them. Right? What does that mean? I mean, it's kind of like the Marines. They go in and they soften up people, right? So they do the miracles, they do the signs, they do the wonders, they do the healings, they cast out the demons, and now everybody is saying, yeah, right, give us some more. How do we get this? And all of a sudden, Jesus comes in now and he says, okay, and he proclaims the kingdom of God to people. Because reality is that people need attention, and people need to also pay attention. It is difficult for somebody to listen to the gospel message if it is that there are other things occupying my mind. A poor person who's trying to figure out how their bills are going to get paid. Once the bills are paid, then they can listen. Once the healing happens, then we can listen a little bit more. Right? So what he's saying here is, go. Tells the disciples, go. In Luke chapter 9, verse 6, it says, so they went. They went from village to village preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. I mean, think about it. They saw Jesus heal people. They were witnesses to all of this. And all of a sudden, because of the relationship, remember it says in Mark, let's go back here, in John chapter 14, verse 12, it says, whosoever believes in me. Now, this is not something that any and everybody can just, any old Tom, Dick, and Harry just come off the street and say, be healed. And they were his disciples. They believed in him. They walked with him. They talked with him. Right? They had meals together. He continually, for years, fed into them to the point where he can now say, go, heal. And what did they do? So they set out and went from village to village, preaching the gospel and healing people everywhere. Wow, could you imagine? Jesus said, go heal, Kenneth. Cool, I'll go heal, right? And I just start, bam, be healed, bam, be healed, bam, be healed. And then all of a sudden, people are healed. And they came back and they were all excited. Man, did you see that? I just lay some Holy Spirit hands on them, bam! That's exciting stuff. That's testimony, right? It says, Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, it says, then Jesus came to them and said, this is after they came back. They're excited. They got all the stories. They got all the war stories and the peace stories, right? He says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, because all of this authority has been given to me, because I possess all of this authority, he didn't say some authority, right? Notice he never said that you can go out and do some healing. You can go out and heal some illnesses and some diseases and some sicknesses and some demons you will be able to cast out. Some of them. No, he says all. Right? All authority. Where am I? He said, oh, all authority has been given in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. Make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Everything. So these are disciples going out and teaching other disciples, teaching them about healing, teaching them about baptizing, teaching them about the kingdom of God, teaching them about casting out demons. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. He didn't say until this group of disciples or this group of apostles, until this group dies out. No, he says until the end of the age. Right? What did the apostles and disciples do as a result? They went out. The interesting thing, I'm skipping down here to Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, he said to them, go into all the world. And as I was sitting back there, I was reading through this and I said, wait, hold on one second. In the beginning, when he first sent the disciples and the 70 out, right? They went into the area, right? He gave them authority to cast out demons, to heal, to preach the gospel message in the area. And now he's saying, well, okay, you've had your practice run. Okay? You've had your practice run. It was a good run. You all did good. You got A pluses on these exams. Right? Now you graduate. Now I need you. Don't stay in the area. Right? Don't stay around here where you know everybody, where everything is comfortable. He says, go. He says, go now into all the world. Don't hang around the church, right? Don't hang around Jerusalem. Go into all the world. Don't even hang around the kingdom of Israel. Go into all the world. Excuse me. Preach the gospel to all nations. Whosoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whosoever does not believe will be condemned. Did he say all will believe? No. Did he say all will be baptized? No. excuse me. And these signs shall accomplish those who believe. Not like the guy who tried to purchase the Holy Spirit, right? It says, these signs shall accomplish those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. If you believe, he said, speaking to the disciples and the apostles, if you believe, you will drive out demons. If you believe, you will speak in new tongues, new languages. If you believe, they will pick up snakes. Any people here fear snakes? Snakeophobia, is it? Right? He says, if you believe, you will pick up the snake and nothing will happen to you. Whatever it is that it's your fear, you need not fear. He says, if you believe, and here's the one, and when you drink deadly poison, it will not hurt you. Do you believe that? I mean, I'm not making this up. You can go to your Bible, Mark chapter 16. It's either you believe it or we don't, right? Mark chapter 16. And he continues to say that it will not hurt you. They will place their hands on sick people and they might be healed. Is that what it says? No, it didn't say it might be healed. It says they will place their hands on sick people and they will be healed. No ifs, ands, buts, or maybes, right? You believe, you will place hands on sick people and you will, and they will be healed. Luke chapter 6, chapter 9, verse 6, it says, departing, they began going through all the villages, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. You know, what comes to mind is that when I was coming up in the church, I started really attending church around age 18. And I was hearing things like, well, God doesn't really heal anymore, right? God doesn't really heal anymore. And we look at verses in the scripture that says, you know, and it's in there, right? God, who in times past spoke to his people through the prophets, but today he's speaking to us through the Bible. And I looked at that and I said, I'm looking at that and I'm thinking, wow. Because it says here that it will be healed. And the question I came up with was, well, why isn't God healing? Could it be, I'm not saying this is the answer, it might be, it mightn't be, but could it be that the reason why God isn't healing is because his people not doing their jobs? Because it says here that you go, you heal. That's what he told the disciples, right? He told the apostles that. He says, go, heal. And if the apostles decided that, you know, it's not politically correct. And if I were to go about doing all this healing, what about all of those doctors? They're going to lose a source of income. And the nurses, they're going to lose a source of income also, right? And the billings that happen as a result. And all this money that pharmaceutical company, you know, the whole economy is going to come crashing if I heal. I'm being facetious, of course, right? Mark 6, verse 13, it says, and they were casting out many demons and were anointing with oil many sick people and healing them. Wow. Acts chapter 5, verse 16. Also, the people from the cities in the vicinity of Jerusalem were coming together, bringing people. Think about it. Hordes of people, they're just coming in because the advertisement works. Healing. Bringing people in who were sick or afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. It never said that some were healed. Acts chapter 8, verse 7. For in the case of many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. Acts chapter 28. I mean, I'm going to go through some scriptures here that show that that healing thing really works. And it wasn't Jesus who was healing, right? It was the apostles. After this had happened, the rest of the people on the island who had diseases were coming to him and getting cured. And it happened, this is the apostle Paul they're talking about, not, yeah, Paul. And it happened that the father of whatever was lying in bed, afflicted with recurrent fever and dysentery. And Paul went to see him. And after he had prayed, he laid hands on him and healed. Here's an example of Paul. Yes, he prayed. But he didn't pray and leave, right? He didn't pray and say, well, God, you handle it. He prayed and then Paul healed him. Now, let me step back a second there. Oh, thank you. Let's step back a second here. Paul, the scripture says, healed. The apostle, the scripture says, healed. The disciples, the scripture said, healed. And I could hear some of you all saying, well, you know, it's not you who doing the healing, it's Holy Spirit, right? Amen. That's not what I see here. Is it Holy Spirit? Where does Jesus dwell right now? Pardon? Yes, Jesus dwells in us right now. Where does Holy Spirit dwell right now? In us right now. And if Holy Spirit dwells in us, he in us, I in him, aren't we one? Okay, am I preaching heresy here? I don't think so, right? Now, Wednesday night we had a little discussion and I brought up this example. If Holy Spirit were to tell you, I want you to go and pray for that person down the street, who's doing the praying? Is it Holy Spirit or is it you? I don't hear you. Right. If Holy Spirit told you, okay, I want you to go and take your $5 bill and put it in the hand of that poor person, that person on the street. So you take the $5 bill and you put it in the hand of the poor person. Who put the $5 bill in the hand of the poor person? You did. If Holy Spirit were to tell you, I want you right now to get up from your seat and walk down the street, and there's a gentleman on the corner there, I want you to preach the word to that gentleman on the corner. Who is preaching the word? You are. And if Holy Spirit tells you, I want you to go heal that person, and you go and heal that person, who just healed the person? Oh, you're still puzzled, right? Scripture says the apostles healed. Scripture says the disciples healed. Amen? Also says, so Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, that's when he laid his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may so that you may regain your sight and be filled with Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. And he got up and was baptized. Who healed? Ananias healed him. At Lystra, there's scriptures and scriptures that shows that healing was done not by Jesus Christ, but by the apostles and the believers, those individuals who believed. At Lystra, a man, he was sitting who had no strength in his feet, lame from his mother's womb, who he had never walked. This man was listening to Paul as he spoke, who, when he had fixed his gaze on him, had seen that he had faith to be made well. We'll speak about faith next week. He said with a loud voice, stand upright. Did he pray? Did he pray and say, Lord God, Holy Father in heaven, you who have all power and all authority, in the name of Jesus, I want you to heal this person right now? No. Because authority had already been given. And when we have authority, we have authority to heal. And he says, stand upright on your feet. And he leapt up and began to walk. Apostles, disciples, believers, all healing. Jesus said, go and heal. The apostles, the disciples, they healed. He says, go cast out demons. They went and they cast out demons. He says, go preach the kingdom of God. They went and they preached the kingdom of God. All because they were given authority. The authority to preach, to teach, to heal, to cast out demons, and to raise the dead has been passed to us today. And because we don't have enough time to get into this particular part of it, tune in next time when we will talk about the authority to preach, to teach, to heal, to cast out demons, and to raise the dead, that you, Shepherd's Community Church, you, modern-day Christianity, that authority that has been given to us by Jesus Christ to heal. Amen? Amen. Holy Father, Almighty God, we are so thankful that we are coming into a point where there's change coming. And God, part of this change occurs within us, your children, believers in the way. And we are thankful to you, great God in heaven, that you are starting to show us, to open up to us, really, who we truly are, your children, disciples of Jesus Christ, called out ones, believers in the way. that we are your sons and your daughters. We are brothers in the spirit, brothers in the flesh. And together, great God in heaven, you have given to us authority, and you have passed this authority on from your Son through the ages to us. Authority over sickness, authority over demons, authority over death. Authority to preach your word and to teach others about this way of life, to make disciples, to change people's lives. You have given us this authority. And so we pray, great God in heaven, asking that as we move forward with this understanding, with this new knowledge, that you would help us, Father, so that we can stay within you, that we can continue to grow, Father, because you are our God, that we can continue to stay focused, that we can continue to believe, and that none of us, Father, will think more highly than we actually are. And we are humbled, great God in heaven, that such a great power and such great authority has been given to us. And we just pray, great God in heaven, that thanking you, Lord God, that you have given this to us and that you have instructed us and that you are in the process of teaching and molding us so that this authority can be used in a way that you desire for the furtherance of your gospel message, for the furtherance of peace. For others to know, great God, that Jesus Christ is Lord, Lord of all, that Jesus Christ is Messiah, that Jesus Christ is the one through whom all things come, through which we can be saved. So we thank you for these, and we pray in the name and by the authority of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.